From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. On any given day, it's estimated there are about 10,000 of our fellow Illinoisans experiencing homelessness. That stat is from the administration of Governor J.B. Pritzker, who, back in September, issued an executive order aimed at fighting homelessness.
Homelessness has many faces. It's urban and it's rural. People everywhere can experience instability, from Peoria to Rockford, from Aurora to Carbondale to Cairo, to right here on the west side of Chicago. It can be a transgender teen banished from a house that refuses them. It can be a single mother of three escaping one bad option for another. It can be a person with disabilities, an actual working but underemployed adult, a veteran, a senior, and it will be always a person deserving of dignity, a person deserving of opportunity, of a second chance, of a foundation upon which to build a successful future for themselves and for their families.
The executive order created a task force and an advisory council to be shepherded by a new position in state government.
To help lead this charge, I'm also establishing the role of state homelessness chief to steer our efforts to decrease homelessness and institutionalization in Illinois, improve future outcomes for people who experience homelessness, and strengthen housing stability for all of our residents.
Back in November, the administration announced the new state homelessness chief would be Christine Haley, who's worked on housing issues for 18 years in government and in the private sector, most recently as director of housing at Cook County Health. We spoke with Haley the day before Thanksgiving, and today we're revisiting that conversation. Here now, the new state homelessness chief, Christine Haley. Christine Haley, welcome to the 21st. Thanks for being here.
Great. Thank you so much, Brian, for inviting me to your show today. As it's the day before Thanksgiving, I imagine that some of your listeners are prepping for their big holiday dinner or in their cars driving to family, see family on Thanksgiving. And so it really is a wonderful time for us to reflect on our homes and what home means to us. So thanks so much for the invitation today.
Yeah, absolutely. Remember the neediest, as the New York Times often puts in its paper this time of year. Before, I want to begin with a little bit of your background. Before this, as I mentioned, you were director of housing for Cook County Health. This is an entirely new position. Can you just talk a little bit about your professional background and your previous work until now?
Sure. So I've spent time in government working primarily in public health. So for the Cleveland and Massachusetts Departments of Public Health, as well as Cook County Health, where I really work to understand how hospitals and health systems can help prevent and end homelessness by creating community linkages and really making investments in permanent housing. I've also spent time as a community advocate in issues related to housing, public housing access, and ending community violence. And I worked on the ground as in homeless shelters, as well as in permanent housing and permanent housing programs.
So this position, as I mentioned, is entirely new. Why is it necessary to have I think I've seen this referred to informally as sort of a homelessness czar in state government. What issues are you taking on in your new role?
Sure. So I think that as the first piece is for us, I think, to think about housing and homelessness and how our homes, you know, really keep us safe and healthy. So I'd like just to walk through a day in my life and how I think about, you know, how my home keeps me safe. So I wake up in the morning, I have an alarm clock with electricity that's connected to right by my bed, and that starts my day off. So I have that access to starting off and making sure that I'm ready to go and my family's ready to go. You know, I have access to a clean bathroom where I'm able to take a shower whenever I want, clean access to clean towels, and if I have any skin conditions, I'm able to address those in my own bathroom. I have a medication box. I know exactly where my medications are, where they're stored, and I'm not in fear of losing my medications or them being stolen. After taking a shower, I then can go into my closet and pick out clothes that are appropriate for the weather, right? So I have different clothes and shoes that protect my skin, that protect my feet. I can then know that in summertime, I can pick up, I can wear clothes that are appropriate for the summer, and in winter, warmer clothes. I then head down to my kitchen, pull out from my refrigerator food that I know is kept at a safe temperature, so I'm not at risk of any foodborne illness. I'm able to cook and to create food for myself and for my family that meets our dietary restrictions and that's best for our diet. Then head out for the day. My children head out for the day. And when we come back home, there's that safe space for family. We're able to eat dinner together. We have the emotional space to be able to share the highs and lows of our day and help manage that stress if we've had a difficult day. There's also a place in my home where if I have had a trying day or a trying moment, I can have some quiet space. Or my children can have some quiet space if they've had a tough day at school. There's also space for spiritual health. My husband is a meditator, so he spends time in the morning or in the evenings taking, 15 minutes to meditate. And there's that quiet, dedicated space where he can do that. And finally, I have a place to sleep at the end of the night where I'm not afraid of being attacked or having my belongings stolen because I have that safe place to sleep in my bed. And this experience is an experience that many of us have that people experiencing homelessness do not, that there is no place, no, that people's belongings oftentimes may be stolen or lost. There's a fear in going to sleep at night when people may be living outside and don't have that protection, so may need to sleep during the day. So we are so lucky that we have in Governor Pritzker's administration this desire and push to ensure that every member, every person living in Illinois really has that same access to safe, affordable housing, and that the experience of homelessness is short if it does happen, and that there's resources that are available on the other side. So with the development of having new federal funding that's available through the CARES Act and the American Rescue Plan Act, now is the perfect time for us to have a strategic plan around ending homelessness.
And so, okay, let's talk a little bit more. You think did a nice job of sort of laying out from sort of an emotional standpoint, an empathetic standpoint of what people are lacking when they are lacking housing, right? It's not just four walls and a roof. But let's talk about the varieties of homelessness, right? Because I think that maybe when people think about homelessness, when they do at all, maybe it's when they're seeing a panhandler or somebody, sleeping in a doorway. But there are so many varieties, right? And can you talk about how much of homelessness is purely economic versus mental illness versus drug and alcohol dependence and what, versus just broken homes for teenagers or LGBT youth who are forced out?
So we have different definitions of homelessness according to different federal agencies. So for the department, for the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, they define homelessness, what we call a literal homelessness definition. So that's someone who is living outside in a tent or who lives in an abandoned building or who may live in a barn. So that is someone who lives outside or someone who's living in an emergency shelter. Or some type of shelter, transitional housing, where, or in a congregate setting. And we can see in Illinois that we have about 10,000 people, as you mentioned, who are experiencing literal homelessness at any one time. We also have the Department of Education's definition, who really looks at that includes the sheltered and unsheltered population, but also includes people who are living in hotels and motels. It includes families who are considered to be doubled up, which means that they are living with another family or a family member or friends, and that they can't live there permanently. So in that, it could be that at any given moment, they may be asked to leave. Their name is not on a lease. You know, it is culturally appropriate for many families to live multiple families in one home. And but there are situations in which it is a crisis situation, and at any time a family might need to leave. And that's the doubled up family situation. So we have, according to our data, have, more closer to 50,000 households that meet that doubled up definition. I think that the overall, I think that another piece that the executive order that our governor signed in September talks about preventing homelessness, and what is our role in ensuring that not only that we solve homelessness for people who have fallen into homelessness, but how we prevent it from happening in the first place. As you talked and asked about, some of the root causes of homelessness, I think that we tend to really look at the lack of affordable housing as the primary cause of homelessness. That there are people who have homes, who have substance use disorders, and who may have alcohol use disorders and have mental illnesses. But they have the family supports and other supports not to become homeless, really. So when we look at root causes of homelessness, we're really looking at the racial wealth gap. We're looking at income disparities. We're looking at lack of affordable housing as really the primary drivers of why we see people experiencing homelessness across our state.
What if you had, this is one of those problems that strikes me that, from basically throughout my entire life, it feels like it's not really getting that much better. And maybe that's wrong. And maybe you have some data to counter me on that. But what if you had to pick one stumbling block in terms of, why this problem seems so intractable for our society? The goal of this, of you and other people who work in this is ending homelessness, but it seems to be just as far down the field as it ever was.
So I am incredibly encouraged by the work that has been done in ending homelessness. And I'm one of those people who do believe that homelessness is a solvable problem. So I agree that it may feel as though that it is not a solvable problem, but we have seen in communities, in our own communities, such as Rockford, Illinois. In Rockford, Illinois, they have ended homelessness for veterans, and they've ended homelessness for chronically homeless individuals, which means people who have a disability and who have been homeless for over a year. And in that, there are examples of across our nation where we have communities that who have had both the right housing resources available, have had the political will to end homelessness, and have had systems in place and a crisis response system in place that's been able to find folks and has been able to connect them to the right resource. So I think that there are ways in which we can replicate national models and replicate what we've seen in our own communities, where people have either ended veterans homelessness or are very close to it. So it's Rockford, Lake County, suburban Cook County is very close to ending veterans homelessness. So that was really started with a push from the federal government in the early teens, 2012, 2013, 2014, around really looking at how do we end veterans homelessness. And with the right resources in place, the right crisis response systems in place, we are able to see those dents. And that's what we're aiming to do across all of Illinois, where that we have the right response in the right place. So let me give an example. So when I took my child to enroll in kindergarten, and you know, we went to the school and we gave the documentation we need, and he was enrolled and he wasn't turned away. But the systems that we have across our nation is that when someone presents and says, you know, I have a housing crisis and I need housing, they are often said, I'm sorry, we have to put in a wait list. But we don't see that. Can you imagine if I had enrolled my kindergartner and they said, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to come back next year. We're going to put your child's name on a list and come back next year, and we'll figure out if we have space for him to enter kindergarten in the fall. So try next year. And it, you know, we might not have space next year either. It might be until he's seven that mm-hmm. he's able to enter kindergarten. And that is just something that we would not tolerate as a society, that we wouldn't have space for a kindergartner or a fifth grader or a 12th grader to enroll in school because there wasn't enough space. We as a society have decided that education for our children is a priority, and that we need to have the systems in place to absorb and to care for any child that comes to school.
Sure, sure.
And we need to have that same piece for housing, that anyone who asks for housing and who has a housing need, that we're able to connect them to housing on the other side.
All right, we need to take a break. We're going to continue our conversation with Christine Haley, the state homelessness chief. This interview originally aired back in November. More to come here on the 21st. Stay with us. Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. If you're just joining us, we're revisiting a conversation with Christine Haley. Back in November, she had stepped into the role of state homelessness chief, a new position that was created by an executive order from Governor J.B. Pritzker. We spoke with her just before Thanksgiving on the program about how she planned to address homelessness during the pandemic and her plans for helping homeless service providers this winter. Here's the rest of our conversation with Christine Haley. And Christine, in the time we have remaining, I do want to sort of get to kind of maybe a lightning round on COVID and winter is coming and all the sort of acute situations that faced by people experiencing homelessness. But I do want to ask you one more big picture question, and it's this. In announcing the executive order, Governor Pritzker said homelessness is a circumstance. It is not an identity. And earlier this month, I read an opinion piece in the New York Times by the writer J. Caspian Kang, who suggested the opposite. And he asked, are the unhoused a people? If the answer is yes, then don't they deserve equal protection under the law? And he goes on to cite a report from the ACLU of Southern California that was called Outside the Law, the Legal War Against Unhoused People. And he says, rather than think of homelessness as a condition, the authors argue, lawmakers should protect those who live on the street in the same way that the Constitution and California law protect groups based on race, gender, or religion. I'm curious if what you think of that idea as somebody who's worked in this space for many years, and you know, and maybe you can talk a little bit about that idea that homelessness is a circumstance or a condition and not an identity, but maybe we should start to think of it that way.
So I really think it's important to engage people experiencing homelessness in any discussion about identity, right? I think that, and I've worked with people who are experiencing homelessness for quite a while, and I definitely have a sense that that the identity piece and why Governor Pritzker really talked about it not being someone's identity is rooted in that person-centered place. And what we're driving towards is focusing on how housing and investing in housing is a solution. And that all of our, that the bulk of our efforts in state government are thinking about how we assist people from moving from a place, from being living on the street or living in an institution, into living and having the dignity of living in their own home, and a place that has a lock and key, and focusing on those solutions related to and really focusing our energies there. I think that we say, and Governor Pritzker, I believe, also, you know, voice that housing is a human right. And that is our focus on ensuring that households do have those rights to ensure that they have a safe, affordable place to live.
All right. So in the time we have remaining, I want to ask, the coronavirus pandemic obviously had a significant effect on housing in this state. Can you talk about how the pandemic has affected homelessness, and you know what the state is doing to try and support people experiencing homelessness during this time when you know a lot of shelters have been closed, specifically for people who are fully unhoused? Go ahead. Yeah.
Yes. So I think that homelessness has really been lifted up as a social issue because of the coronavirus. You can't shelter in place if you do not have your own home. So in that, there's been a lot of innovative work that shelter providers have done in order to help protect people. One of the strategies has been in helping folks move into hotels or motels and to be able to shelter in those individual spaces as opposed to being in congregate spaces. Across the state, homeless service providers have really thought about transitioning from a pads-based model where people move from church basement every night to thinking about how there is the available fixed site shelter or fixed site congregate shelter. So that we do build a crisis response system that is can assist residents in that type of crisis, while also focusing on a permanent housing placement. I'd say that IDHS has done, and the Illinois Department of Human Services and the Illinois Housing Development Authority have really worked hard to ensure that our communities understand about rental assistance. So if someone is in need of, is in an apartment, they are at risk of being evicted from that apartment from a lost job or loss of income, that they are able to apply for rental assistance. So if your listeners are in that situation or do have family or friends who need rental assistance, if you Google IDHS Housing Help, again, IDHS Housing Help, if you Google that, that will take you right to a website that includes, that has a link to community organizations in your county that have rental assistance dollars and process those applications. So I encourage you to look there. I think one other thing that communities can do, before I came to IDHS, as you said, I worked at Cook County Health, and one of my jobs was running a 19-bed medical respite center, which is a place, it's a shelter that we ran with a homeless services provider, Housing Forward, in suburban Cook, where people who are exiting the hospital have a place to stay, as shelters may not be able to accommodate them, but that a nursing home they don't need that level of care. So it's kind of an in-between shelter placement. And in that, we did COVID isolation, so took care of folks who were recovering from COVID. But over the winter, a number of people that we cared for had amputations from frostbite. So they either had parts of their fingers amputated, had parts of their feet and their legs amputated. Even though I worked in this field for most of my career, I was absolutely astonished by what this looked like in seeing our fellow residents losing parts of their limbs due to living outside. So I think that as we think about what your listeners can do, one is to help support crisis housing centers with the supplies and materials that folks would need. People experiencing homelessness who are outside to prevent frostbite need to keep skin dry and warm. People need socks, gloves, hats, scarves, and warm boots and shoes to keep their feet warm. But really, it's about thinking about how do we support housing organizations in our local communities, right? Those that are, in addition to providing that crisis shelter housing, really thinking about permanent housing, thinking about how we end homelessness through that permanent housing. So finding housing organizations that provide permanent housing for our fellow residents experiencing homelessness.
But before permanent housing, and I mean, you've talked about some of the bad effects of winter, there is, you know, there has been previously in Illinois, at least before the pandemic, a big network of churches, social service organizations that offered support to people experiencing homelessness. A lot of that hasn't bounced back since the pandemic. Do you think, is Illinois ready for winter? I mean, we talked last year on the show that a lot of warming centers were still closed on account of the pandemic, and this was during the polar vortex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think that the transition that many communities have made really was around because the move from that church basement model has really moved to identifying where are there non-congregate housing opportunities available through motels and hotels. So I think that each community has a local what's called continuum of care, which is a policy and planning body in each community that's responsible for ensuring with working with local government, working with state government, working with homeless service providers to plan for and to support people experiencing homelessness. So I think that understanding how communities are utilizing those strategies, trying to prevent people from becoming homeless in the first place. I talked about how to identify rental assistance. You can also go to Illinois Rental Assistance, all one word, .org, IllinoisRentalAssistance.org, to identify how you connect to rental assistance or other community-based, and those communities may be able to connect you to community-based resources to prevent becoming homeless in the first place. But I agree with you that this focus on ensuring that people are safe, that ensuring that we do have a strong and robust crisis response system will be one of the goals for our state plan to end homelessness, to ensure that anyone who comes to us, to any community that's seeking for help, is able to get the right resource on the other side.
Well, Christine Haley, the new state homelessness chief, look forward to following your work and the work of the task force in the months ahead. I hope we can have you back to talk about it. And thank you for being with us today.
Thank you so much for the invitation.
That was our conversation with Christine Haley. Back in November, she was appointed as state homelessness chief, a new position created by an executive order from the governor's office to address the problems of homelessness. Again, we spoke with her back in November, just before Thanksgiving.